This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Forget Norway, they crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget Norway, they sold Marcus Garvey for rice.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, right here in Nassau, Bahamas. This program is Remark. It's your favorite program on a Sunday afternoon. We've just listened to Scotch and Whiskey with Quincy Parker. You know, that's a leveling conversation. And, you know, we always appreciate the conversation that he has. It's one of a deeper level for those who can appreciate that. And then we follow that program right now with Remark. And for those who are listening in for the first time, we want to use, if you're on Scotch and Whiskey, we want to use some of that Scotch and Whiskey and allow you to speak your mind. For those of you who you don't drink alcohol, you don't participate with alcohol, we want your sober thought. For those who are stuffed with your turkey, your ham, and your Sunday dinner, please join in the conversation. This is your family show, your relaxation show. This is where all through the week when you are sitting behind that desk and you know you have your supervisor, or your manager, or the owner of the company looking over your shoulder, you can't say anything. On a Sunday, you're in the luxury of your home, you're in your private vehicle, you're going to tune in, you're going to join in the national conversation, you're going to put your word in, because, you know, this is what I appreciate most about Guardian Radio. Guardian Radio allows you, the people of the Bahamas, the citizens, to call in and to have a conversation. That in and of itself, I do believe, is totally awesome. You no longer have to be a silent voter in this country. You no longer have to be a politician, a pastor, or someone of a great public figure. You can be yourself, and you can call in and have a conversation right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Now, the one thing I want you to know is that Guardian Radio allows a plethora of hosts here. I mean, we have great people that come on this show. We have great co-hosts that come on this show. Like, for instance, first thing tomorrow, you know, you're going to wake up, and then you're going to have morning blend with, you know, your good friend, who? Dwight Strawn. Of course you know Dwight Strawn. It's a remarkable program. It gets the news to you quickly, and you can just chat the day started. You got C.A. Newry, Aaron Green. You got Howard Grant. You got, Shivago Line. And then you got Naughty. I mean, that's a given day here on Guardian Radio. You have Kenny coming on with her program. You have Leonard Sands and Ms. Deal with her program. You can find a program. You got Stanley. You got a whole list of people you can listen to. Find your favorite program. And I'm so glad to know today that on a Sunday, your favorite program is Remark. And, you know, we've been privileged to have Brittany with us. Brittany, I won't lie, we're going to miss you. But I got my main man in the house. When I say my main man, I mean I feel a kindred spirit. Maybe it's an Acklands thing. I don't know, a Family Islands thing, or maybe a family thing. But I got Wally back in the house. Brittany, I really, really appreciate you, really love you. And, you know, you're my little sister and all. And our big brother's back in the house. And I'm sure we're going to get some good Christmas music today right here on 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. Let me take the time to throw some numbers to you because, you know, I'm not a selfish guy. And, you know, some of you call and say, oh, look at all those beautiful people you have on your show. And so today I want to do something just so different. So I want you to let your friends know, your family know that today is going to be a different type of show, but it's going to be a great show all the same. And you have to be a part of this. Here are the numbers. I'm going to go through those numbers very slowly. so that you can call in when you're ready. And those numbers are you ready? 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or you can call anywhere from the Family of Islands, 300-5720, or just kindly text. If your supervisor's there, the owner's there, the manager's there, or your wife or your husband's looking over your shoulder and you don't want to say anything, just text us, 422-4796. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to allow my co-host here, Darvin Russell, and Ms. Peggy Candace, to walk us through the year 2024. And of course, last week we had another special guest, Mr. Glenn White Pratt. And he says, what? I definitely got to be a part of that because I have something also to say. So now we have a whole, studio full of people who have something to say about the year 2024. And guess who came in time for this party? My main man, Wally. Come on, Wally. I know he got something to say too. And so listen, let's jump right on in it. We're going to have some good slamming music today, some of that good Christmas jingle type of music. And let me say something to you, man. If you want to be a part of this show, you know, you got a manager or, you know, someone in the marketing department and they want to go ahead and help sponsor the show. Maybe you want to throw a little tithe, a little offering now and then. We would appreciate your help as we continue to keep the voice of the Bahamas right here, 96.9 Got In Radio, on the air for 2025. You can be a part of that. And let's continue to let democracy, not democracy is dead, but at Guardian Radio 96.9, democracy is alive and well because you can use that cell phone and call us today. I just want to introduce our friends here today. I'm going to start with the co-host, Darvin Russell. Let him introduce the people on his panel today. And for the first few minutes, we're going to do a year in review. You can call in, let us know about your year, what is spectacular about your year, and then something special for the last 40 minutes, 30 minutes of this program. I want you to consider who would you like to call Wally and tell Wally I want to say a special shout out or Merry Christmas to a special family member or a friend. You can do that for the last half an hour. Is that okay? Let's get it started. Darvin Russell, the microphone is yours.
Good evening, Bahamas. Happy holidays to everybody. In studio with me, of course, tonight is the lovely Peggy Candice, joined by Glenn Roy Pratt. And tonight, as Garth mentioned, we're going to have a conversation about what 2024 has been like and those top issues, those most salient issues that have touched your life and the life of the average Bahamian. So feel free to call and let us know what were your top news stories of 2024. Describe 2024 is it was a year of highs and lows. And it's not highs that you would think. Highs in terms of high murder counts. Highs in terms of high deficits, lows in terms of we're ending the year at the lowest national morale that I have seen in a very long time. And that was driven primarily, as many of you recall, by these massive corruption scandals that have come to light as a result of the indictment from the U.S. Attorney's Office. But that was on top of the investigation that is ongoing around the head of the CID that is still unresolved, and we have not had an update in recent weeks about the progress of that investigation. We don't know, for example, whether Scotland Yard, whether the FBI, whether or not MI6, who came to help the Bahamas government and the Royal Bahamas Police Force resolve some of these outstanding matters. But I will not hog the mic tonight, so let's hear from some of our guest panelists. So Peggy, I know one of the more pressing issues that you have had, and you have been a beacon of light for a lot of people in the country, speaking most strongly on many a national radio program about this issue of crime and criminality. Yes. That's plaguing the Bahamas. Why don't you tell the audience what your thoughts were about the biggest stories around crime and criminality in 2024?
Happy Sunday to you. Thank you for having me. Happy Sunday, Bahamas, Bahamians, my lovely people. You know, when I got the assignment for today's show, year in review, I went to the Guardian's webpage, and I began to research starting from January. The time as I reached to mid-February, as a matter of fact, I stopped at Valentine's Day, the trend was already set for this year. Sadly, the trend was murder, and those first 2 months, we saw an escalation in murder where it seems to be every day, one, two, three murders, until the point of bail became a national conversation. And with that national conversation came a national time of confusion among our leaders responsible for making us feel safe and secure in the country. There was a disagreement among those in charge. When you come to the commissioner of police, who's now the outgoing commissioner of police, he had one view, the attorney general had one view, the gentleman in charge of public prosecution had a different view. Kyle Parker, I think that's his name. He had a different view, and it did not make us feel secure in a time of a murder spree that was going on January, February. And we saw this trend develop straight up until Saturday morning this weekend, where we had murder count number 117.
Wow.
And it's still, with the citizens of this country are confused, because our leadership still seems not to be on one accord when it comes to a plan of dealing with crime, murder. I saw we even had a home invasion this weekend, you know. And so we're at a point, and you said, all-time national low morale. Like I've never seen in my 52 years of living, I've never see people feeling so lost and hopeless, like we're in a bad movie. And we're hoping that they stop recording so we can find our sense of safety and that normalcy be again, where women in particular, you know, one of the latest murder cases was a 72-year-old woman, and that was because of home invasion, rape, and then she was murdered. Mm-hmm. They just buried a young 12-year-old mm-hmm. yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so we have seen a bloody, bloody year in this nation, particularly on the island of New Providence. Grand Bahamas had a shin. I think Eleuther had one or two. And so I saw the trend developing from January of 2024. Mm-hmm. And so we started one way, and sadly enough, we are ending the year. So far, 117 murders, home invasion, robberies, crime. And then we have all of that. In the midst of all of that, we have lost trust in our police force. We see the events of the police force unfolding from the armed robbery. And this is all crime. We see many people involved in the armored truck robbery are dead on our streets. Not only those involved, but those some who were associated. We heard the voice notes come out, damning accusation, allegation made against members of the Royal Bahamas Police Force and lawyers, you know. And this is where we are as a country. And we must... I wish there was a reset button that we can push. First, we push stop and pause and reset to get back on track. And it's hard to be hopeful but in God when we see the corruption and our outgoing commissioner of police saying that the police force have a culture of corruption. I have a problem with these things. I live here. I ain't going nowhere. I don't plan on migrating anywhere. So now my thoughts are, how do we get a grip going into 2025? What is the plan? We have to ask our leaders, what are your plans to stop and reset? We already know that they prorogue and try to reset, and we see that ain't work. So what is the plan? And one of the things that came to mind whilst I was preparing is, do we need an early election? Does this administration need a new mandate or another administration? Because obviously we see that one of the highest level of failure when it comes to economy, when it comes to food security, which I hope you'll let me talk about, food security, the story on food security. Are we serious, leaders? And that is my takeaway when I think about 2024. And so I walk away this question, how do we stop and recover and bring back some sense of security to Bahamians?
So I will remind you all, the PM's national address was in January. I know it feels as though we almost just started the year and we're already ending the year. And when he spoke in January, he talked about this three-stage approach. He talked about clearing the gangs out of the communities. That was step one. Mm-hmm. He talked about maintaining a relentless presence within step one. He then talked about phase two being the hold phase of this strategy, meaning the police would hold the communities, according to the Prime Minister, by maintaining an ongoing and relentless presence. And thirdly, he said, lastly, we will build, not just building roads, but building opportunities, futures, and building hope. Glenroy, what say you? Do you get the sense that the Prime Minister was able to execute his strategy on crime?
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, Peggy. Good
Hi,
to see you.
You too.
And also, good evening, Bahamas. You know, those are some very serious questions, especially considering the state of affairs that we find ourselves in this country. And the flat-out answer, in my view, is based on the way the people are feeling and based on the misery index that is currently being felt in this country. I would say those points were raised, but they were not hit in terms of a target bullseye. The challenge right now is the Bahamian people are feeling a sense of hopelessness, as Peggy mentioned, and that is a reality that a lot of people are facing. When you coupled what Peggy was talking about from the criminal perspective,
yes,
you add the cost of living, which is another burdensome experience the Bahamian people are feeling. When you look at the fact that when you go in a grocery store, you know, simple items that you used to spend $4 and $5 is now $8 and $9 and $10 and $15 in some cases. When you look around and you see that people have to decide whether they're going to put back medicine or buy grocery, or they got to pay the rent and not buy grocery, when they have to make decisions on whether they have to fix their tire because the roads are such terrible condition and suffer not by eating. You know, these are challenges that the Bahamian people are facing. And when you have a promise, like the Prime Minister made another promise that he will target the cost of living in 2025. I mean, people are hurting in 2024. Mm-hmm. I don't need a 2025 resolution when I'm currently dealing with issues in 2024. Mm-hmm. And so right now, the Bahamian people are looking for a new resolve, a resolve that will actually provide them the level of hope that is needed in this country, where our young people are seeing greater opportunities, because make no mistake about it, unemployment is still very high among our young people. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake about it, they are feeling a sense of hopelessness themselves. They don't see a future for themselves. The average cost of homes have far exceeded the ability of the average Bahamian to pay for one. Mm-hmm. And the reality of it is, there is no hope in the fact that they will be able to afford one in the years to come. And so we have so many issues in this country that we are facing. And right now, I don't want to be pessimistic, but the reality of it is the dark cloud that I think the good preacher was preaching about the other day, and he mentioned that he felt over this country, is obviously upon the people, and the rain is coming down. We need a new mandate.
You know, you mentioned, Glenroy, that one of the factors that affect crime that we all know from our empirical studies is poverty. And one of the challenges, probably the most significant challenge that's being experienced around the world, and the Bahamas is no exception, is this issue around inflation. We had a lot of conversations and a lot of news stories, for example, this year surrounding the heavy-handedness of tax authorities, people not falling behind on their bills. The Prime Minister said that when the study came out that you require $10,000 a month to be a middle-class family in the Bahamas. The Prime Minister said it's about your choices, right? making better choices with how you spend your money. We all know that it has become increasingly difficult to survive in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. The government, to its credit, increased the minimum wage modestly, but with the minimum wage increase, we had an increase in national insurance expense. So it's like you give with one, you take away with the other. Mm-hmm. We now have some of the highest light bills that we've ever experienced in the country. And, you know, it's almost as though we have been besieged on every side when it comes to our pocketbooks. What say you and Peggy around how do you grade the government on its handling of helping us manage this inflation? You know, the Golden Yolk Project that the Prime Minister told us would reduce the price of eggs. Eggs in the grocery store are now over $6
yes. yep.
a dozen. We are coming into probably the most baconist, that's my word, the most baconist season for the Bahamian people. So that macaroni ain't got no egg. You need to figure out how to bake a cake without an egg. You know, you got to lighten the mood a little bit, right? Because this is serious stuff.
Oh, my word.
So how has he stacked up? We know our neighbors to the north, the president, elect Mr. Trump has vowed to really deal forcefully with this issue of inflation.
Right.
Do we need a different strategy? Do we need a different playbook for dealing with inflation? What say you, Peggy?
Great topic, because I think it was on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
my sister, my family, we're from Eleuthera, she sent me a picture of tomatoes in a yes. store, and sweet peppers in a store,
mm-hmm.
and they both were over $3
my Lord.
each. And they had price tag on each one. So you make no mistake that this is the cost per item.
Mm-hmm.
This week also, we had the minister responsible for agriculture, Mr. Campbell, calling a press conference where he said that they're celebrating giving grants to fishermen mm-hmm. and farmers, so, dividing $1.5 million between 62 fishermen and farmers. And I did the calculation. That meant that each one would receive just over $24,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday, somebody shared a picture on my page that they brought these little, you call them toys, but a little farming package for farmers. Are we serious? 62 farmer and fishermen, not farmers alone, a combination, I think it was 33 farmers, and a nation that acknowledged that we have an insecure food problem in our country, that if exportations were to cut off, we will be truly screwed in this country when it comes to feeding ourselves. And so imagine celebrating giving a farmer and a fisherman $24,195 it round off to be. And I put it out there for people to get a sense of what is going on, the craftiness of the PR that is being done. A false hope. Obama said there is nothing called false hope. Sir, I disagree. A false hope. That you're giving the nations and saying that we're giving grants $1.5 million when we spend over budgeted for the 50th anniversary, $1 million, because we never got a real account of how much was spent after the event. And then we had a 51st anniversary, which another budget. But for food security on an island nation, and people don't know who these people are. There's so much secrecy. There's just PR. You go, Andres, and you give 15 farmers. And then we have that thing called BAMC. Is BAMC another false hope? Is BAMC, as long as it's been in existence, has it reached a mark where we say we can rely on BAMC for potatoes year-round? That we can rely on BAMC for supplying this nation with bananas, peas, corn, items that we can live off, Irish potatoes, sweet potatoes. We have the red soil in this nation, but it's BAMC and its caretakers producing them on a level that if our nation, and it's been several years that we talk about this food shortage that is going to be the next pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Are we prepared or are we just PRing? Are we selling these people a dream to say we have BAMC sometime? BAMC have us. Papaya only. Tomatoes only. I grew up on a family island. We had corn. We had everything that you can go and make a pot of soup from. Growing right in our farms. And now they hacking like backyard farming is this new thing. We had farms in Eleuthera tomatoes that are being sold now for over $3. We used to put salt and black pepper in a bag, walk alongside the road, pick tomatoes. That was our snacks in Gregorytown, Eleuthera. Everything was there. How come? I'm 52. I left Eleuthera at 17. How come there's been a digression over the years? Huh? How come I got a farmer calling me saying our stock is dying because the government, the feeding that the government supplement for farmers who grow livestock has been out of supply for over 2 months. And the cost of feeding your animals inside, purchasing the feed out of the store is so high that our livestock are dying, starving to death. In the Bahamas, 2024, the last 2 weeks in 2024.
This is all very powerful. I'm sitting right here on the side of Darvin Russell, who is co-hosting this program with me today here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. This is Remark. I'm Garth Roseborough. I just want to throw some numbers out there so they can continue the conversation. You know, I'm sitting right here, and I just want to jump in myself, but, you know, I'm not allowed today because I told myself I need to learn how to sit back and learn and listen. Babies like to talk. We don't like to listen, so I want to try to listen, but I'm right here just crawling in my skin. I got goosebumps listening to the conversation. So just let me throw these numbers out so these people, if they want to call in, they can jump on in. But I'm right here. I'm all strapped down. I got my seatbelt on. I don't want no ticket from the police because they may confiscate my chair. You know, they're impounding these things. But 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, or anywhere from the Family of Violence, 300-5720, or you can text at 422-4796. Go right ahead, Mr. Russell.
So Peggy mentioned something that's near and dear to both Garth and I's heart. So before I let Glenroy chime in on his thoughts on this inflation issue, Peggy mentioned this issue around feed. This has been a problem for years in the farming community, that they, you know, I raised chickens for egg production for many years. And Peggy is right. The cost of feed essentially represents 80% of the cost of you raising chickens for eggs, for those of you that don't know. So when you talk about the feed from the local feed mill, which is heavily subsidized by the government, it allows farmers to produce eggs at an affordable rate where they can sell a dozen eggs for $5 or less. Now, when you have to buy that feed outdoors, it's 50% more than what the feed mill sells it for. Every single egg that you sell for less than $5, you lose money on. So Bahamians have to understand that there is a direct correlation between our public policy and oftentimes the cost of certain items in the grocery store. Until we really have a cogent, consistent, well-thought-out, pragmatic strategy, for example, around producing our own local feedstock from local ingredients the way the Jamaicans do, you cannot import even the raw material for the feed cost effectively. If you're bringing in corn from the United States, it's too expensive. By the time you mill it, if you're bringing in fish meal, it's too expensive. So you can't use foreign ingredients to make up your feed, because the only thing the feed mill is doing by selling it to the farmers cheaper is shifting the loss to the government. Mm-hmm. And then all of us are subsidizing our very own eggs. So you can find a way to do it. And one of the ways that you can do it, as I mentioned, is if you have locally produced feed. So Glenroy, Peggy touched on a number of issues. What are your thoughts on this issue around inflation? What do you think is driving it? How do you think the government has performed around it? What do you think needs to be done in 2025 to make things better for the average Bahamian?
Well, you know, certainly the inflationary challenges is global, but not to minimize the inaction on the part of the government obviously has caused it, in my view, to escalate to the point now where we all are feeling it. You know, they, in terms of rhetoric, in terms of promises, like the Golden Yoke and all these other stuff, I mean, and the plans were awesomely thought out and awesomely talked about. Mm-hmm. But the action is a failure. As you mentioned, you know, when the Golden Yoke program was being discussed, it was being discussed at that time because the price of eggs was so outrageous.
It was over $5 at the time, yeah.
And during that time, there has been no action to actually produce or make it to the point where we, when the situation was to reoccur again, that we wouldn't face what we're facing now.
That is correct.
And so right now we are right back to where we started, and again with more rhetoric being thrown at the problem. When we have a nation of people that have a hungry and a strong desire towards government, we are failing as a nation. I think governments believe that when they're giving out ham and turkey that they are succeeding. No, it's showing that you're a failure because the people are still suffering and their needs are increasing.
Yes.
And so if you don't allow them to be independent of you, then we are failing as a nation.
That's correct.
And the challenge now as a people is that we need to have a better understanding on where we need to go, have a better understanding on how when we have foreign direct investment into the country, how it expands our economy, so much so that more people are not so reliant on government to be employed by government to have these long pension plans and all the stuff that sustains them, that comes out of the purse of the Bahamian people. We have so many issues in those areas that we need to really fix. But this whole point of food security should have been something that we have taken serious for quite some time. In the same vein as when you couple that with the hurricane situation, I look at these two instances, right? We are living in a hurricane belt. And it behooves me that as a nation, that we don't enforce upon all of us as we're growing out through our school, high school, some levels of understanding of about plumbing, carpentry, masonry. Every citizen should have some basic understanding because, again, we live in such a catastrophic belt in terms of hurricanes. If something was to hit this country, like a Category 5 hit Florida, how are we going to spring and work to get our country back? Are we going to rely on foreigners to come and help us?
Again.
We would be in a crisis relying on people who could potentially face their own catastrophic events. And so if we are in a position that we are prepared as a people for the disaster that potentially can come our way and not bury our heads in the sand as if it can't happen, we would be better able to accommodate the needs that we will have. When you look at that issue, then you look at the fact, again, of the food security. If we plan and prepare ourselves, for example, if we know that we live in a hurricane belt, if one island has a strong farming project or production going on, make sure we have another island. Should that island not be hit, or should that island be hit, we have some other source that we can rely upon. But our total reliance on foreign is what has caused these problems as well. And when we have those total reliance on foreign, what ends up happening is our governments are, in some cases, bought off because the foreigner has his own interests.
Yes.
And so he comes in with a couple of dollars, and then he has the ability to sway whatever decisions that are being made to his benefit and not to the benefit of the Bahamian people. And so all these things contribute to the challenges that we're facing. When you look at the fact of this inflationary issue, you look at the fact of light bill has contributed to all the other inflationary challenges that we have been facing. And so when the promise of reduced light bill came into play, I was ecstatic, but only to behold, looking at my light bill, it went up. You know, so all these, again, these promises have obviously given us hope, but at the same time destroyed us when the action or the reality of what was actually promised did not come to fruition. We now face the challenges. As a country, we have to take serious approach or approaches to different issues that we have. And we need to segment it, identify what the issues are, and elevate ourselves towards it. Like, again, food security is an issue. Hurricane is an issue. Light bill is an issue. How do we reduce, or how do we ensure that we have food security? Do we have a group of students who are desperately interested in farming? Do we fund those students? Do we inject a lot of resources into training and developing a group of people that can go and do the things that are necessary to sustain that? When we look at the light bill and all this other stuff, solar and all this stuff, who do we have? How many bright minds do we have that can actually put their energies and their minds towards reduction on cost of all these different things, training these individuals so that they can come back and help develop the country? I believe that if we take the time and invest in the areas that we can find production and find resolve, we will see the resolve. We spend important, and as a result, we see results. But we are not spending the monies properly in the areas that we need to fix. And that's why we have not seen the results that we've been seeing. And so I pray that we really get ourselves to a place in this country that we can elevate ourselves, because right now it's not looking really good.
You know, there are four things that really make up the average person's budget. You're talking about housing, mm-hmm. you're talking about transportation, you're talking about grocery, and you're talking about utilities.
Yep.
If you were serious as a government, you have to take one, if not all of those, and have sensible initiatives around. Let's take the utility that you mentioned.
Right.
If BPL is able to execute a national solar program mm-hmm. to reduce the overall cost of electricity, if this arrangement with Pike and Bahamas Power is successful in reducing the cost of electricity, that's one lever that you can pull. Mm-hmm. If you're dealing with food security, as Peggy mentioned, if you say to BAMSI, look, you've been in existence for, I think it's more than a decade now,
yes.
mm-hmm. Pick the top three vegetables that are imported right. that can be grown easily in the Bahamas. Your job is to produce it
right.
at a market, at a rate that you can break even as BAMSI and the country can benefit with a significant reduction from an imported good.
Absolutely.
You're talking about transportation. We all know our jitney system is still woefully inadequate. Not that the fares charged is significantly high, but we still have to consider maybe that person, $1.25 each way, is still significant over the course of a 30-day cycle. You're still talking about $50 a month in terms of transportation costs.
Absolutely.
So maybe we have to get to the point where we consider, do we subsidize the poorest of the poor as a society to say, look, we're going to take this off your plate and we're going to really get to a unified bus system mm-hmm. that allows from the north to the south to the east to the west in New Providence for you to traverse the streets safely and economically. And then, of course, housing. We all know, whether it's the Airbnb market explosion, mm-hmm. whether or not it's the tourism arrivals that have cost the average hotel room to be significantly expensive, thereby driving up the cost of land around the border of the island. Whatever it may be, we know that there is a significant shortage of affordable housing in the Bahamas. What are we doing practically? I do not feel, for example, that the government should be in the business of trying to build houses.
Right.
Every administration has proven woefully inadequate at this task. Why? It takes too long to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can't ever do it cost effectively. Right. You have other alternative uses for the land.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have enough crown land with which to execute the amount of houses that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And the list goes on and on. So I think we really have to sit down. Sober minds need to sit down. Before we just go, it seems as though we do everything in an ad hoc basis. So it looks like Wally is telling us we probably need to take a break. So we're going to do that. And when we get back, we're going to chop it up on some other issues here on 96.9 Remark with Garth Roseborough.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break here, give you some of that Christmas jingle in a minute. But let me throw those numbers out to you really quickly. 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259, anywhere from the family of violence, 300-5720, or you can text at 422-4796. Now, I'm sitting right here all quiet, but you know, you just know I am just a mischievous guy. It's a big setup here on a Sunday, I'm telling you right now, because when I get on this microphone, I'm going to jingle your bells. But until then, I hand it over to Wally behind the board. Good to have him back, and let's jingle on.
Okay, so I'm still live.
People making lists,
buying special gifts.
Taking time to be kind to one and all. It's that time of year
when good friends are.
You wish you could give more.
Four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. But we need your help. From November 4th to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic. Your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
That's astonishing.
Where is the remote? Who turned the TV off?
Sorry, hun. It's a power outage.
Power up your home with a renewable energy system. CIBC Caribbean offers up to 100% financing on residential photovoltaic systems to keep you powered up during outages. Ask your relationship manager or sales specialist about our renewable energy loans. You may also visit CIBCFCIB.com/renewable energy loans for more information. Conditions apply.
This holiday season, stay connected to the ones you love with Alive. Switch today and get 5 gigabytes of data free with your first 30-day plan. Whether you're sharing holiday moments or enjoying Junkanoo Bay, Alive keeps you connected all season long. Visit BeAlive.com to make the switch today. It's good to be alive.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Wow! Mommy's kissing Santa Claus!
Ah, oh boy, listen to that. Mama kissing Santa Claus. Now, in the Bahamas, we're not sure if Santa Claus is daddy. We know who mommy is. Mm-hmm. We ain't really sure who daddy is. And the fella, you know, he looked like Santa Claus. And he kind of looked like daddy. But we ain't really sure.
This the mischievous guy.
And then you got some people out there who been telling you all this time, that's uncle or that's my cousin. That could be your daddy. It could be your daddy, especially around Christmas time. You know, Christmas time is when a whole lot of children get made.
September born.
So when you talk about September 11, like 9-11, that's you. Some of these demons were born around here doing foolishness. This you right here. You born because of this. You caused this. We saw around the center of the island. I don't want to call the people I'm named, but around that marathon area. Listen to me. You couldn't get around there yesterday. The people won't push you off the road. Wow. And they upset with you. I was so happy when I saw what y'all call y'all corrupt, but I don't think they're corrupt. Our good people of the Royal Barbers Police Force booking some of y'all. I mean, it was booking and carrying your car. But you know, y'all got to behave yourself. Pay your bills, man. Pay for your car. Pay for your rent. Pay for your mortgage. Pay people who you owe all year long. We've been asking you for our money all year. That little thing with Alenia. When you gonna pay me? You gonna go buy present for everybody else, hoping you get something else in return, and you're still gonna owe me in 2025? Stop it. Just stop it. We got a telephone numbers, folks. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. Or anywhere from the Family of Violence, 300-5720. Or you can text at 422-4796. I want to talk with something, but
go ahead,
I can't really talk about it because Darvin here.
Come on, you can talk.
You think I can talk this?
I can talk about it.
Might be better call and tell me talk that. I can let y'all keep talking because if I talk this, we can get in trouble today. They got to call me and tell me talk that. I ain't talking about myself. Somebody got to call me today and tell me talk that. Darvin, continue program. I ain't talking just like that. You're talking about 10 minutes.
When you get in trouble, they can't fire.
No, let me get my little bravado together and my little muscle together. Okay, take another 5 minutes and let me get myself together.
Right.
I want to talk this, but I want someone to encourage me to talk this. I don't really want to talk this, but talk it anyhow.
Go ahead, yourself. Darvin.
So, just talk radio. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Go ahead, Darvin Russell.
So we ended prior to the break, we were talking about cost of living. And I wanted to touch a little bit on, before we turn it over to Garth, around this issue of some of the things that are still plaguing us 51 years later. We have a prime minister who travels around the world talking about climate change. But yet we seem to struggle with basic infrastructure needs still in 2024. Mm-hmm. We've got our brothers and sisters in Luthra to this day that's still to be plagued with intermittent power and water challenges.
To this day.
Why are we dealing, Glenroy and Peggy, with some of these basic services to be provided by the government still 50 years later?
You know, the unfortunate reality is unless... Whenever there's a problem in the Bahamas, unless somebody's going to make some money in fixing it, then there seems to be no fast resolve to getting it done. We really have to start holding people more accountable. I mean, there's no way people should be suffering this long with power outages and water situations, coupled with the fact that you have the current minister who is from Eleuthera,
very true,
a minister of works, and they are facing this issue. I mean, and if your own can't get it done, I mean, and my God help you, you know. We really got to get serious about these things. But again, you know, I think Martin Luther King mentioned you could only ride a man when he bent down, right?
Yeah.
And the problem is many Bahamians are bending down because while bending, they have their hands open.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just waiting for the little, give me the little slow five or a little slow 20. And they feel somewhat relieved in that consolation is for that moment. But the reality of it is the long-term suffering that they will endure as a result of taking a little 20 or a little slow five is something that they need to look at. Mm. We need to have a greater demand, and we must demand respect. We must demand action, and we must require it. We cannot no longer take words and flowery, buttery words to help you through the challenges that you're facing. We are in an action state of affairs right now in this country. And we need to demand our leaders provide the action.
You know, I'm glad that you went to that. I'm glad that you went to that point because I want to, as much as I will spend every day, all day fighting for Bahamians, injustices, the lack, failures when it comes to social service and child protection and protecting women from abusive relationship, from making provision of safety for women and children from abusive relationship. As Bahamians, we have to take our responsibility in the continual decline in our country. For example, we play the game. You know, this fleecing season now. You can get your ham, you can get your turkey, you can get your breakfast. Every Saturday you get somewhere hot, go get some hot breakfast. We have to stop playing the game. We have to stop waiting for handouts. Because we play right into what the politicians are doing, and the politician does it because it's been working for 50 years.
Mm.
Where you get your drink, you get your grilled chicken, you get your hot dog. You get your grits and tuna. You get your ham. You get your turkey. And then you drive rotten roads.
Hmm.
Summer come, you complain about the heat wave. Hmm. In Eleuthera, I thought the matter was resolved when it came to water and current, we call it. Not to find out that up until this morning, electricity has been off and on, water off and on. How was this when they just had that 1 million gallon tank? There was a fire in Upper Island last week. And you know what the statement said from Water and Sewage? Once we became aware of the fire, we optimized water supply. Why in the hell you got to wait for fire to optimize? Shouldn't water supply on an island that is basically tourist-driven have optimized water supply?
Let me see. I got to break the rules. You know, and a wonderful job, though. I don't take anything from the panel. But I'm listening, and most definitely, we have a leadership problem in this country. Period. What we have been left with is a choice between the lesser of all the evils. Which one is the better of the three? It's like the three stooges. Which one of the three stooges is the better one? Curly, Moe, and what's the next one?
Larry?
Which one is the better one? Huh? Johnny Dangerfield? Richard Pryor? Eddie Murphy? Who's the better one? Jimmy Fox and another one there, the little skinny one there. What is his name? I forget the little boy name.
Chris Rock?
Chris Rock. Is that a little small little one there?
Kevin Hart.
All them funny and short. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's Kevin.
Huh?
That's Kevin.
We got to choose from these type of individuals. And so when we look at their qualifications, and I know, Peggy, Candace, you've spoken about qualifications. Darwin has spoken about economics and qualifications. I've heard Glenn Roy speak about qualifications. What is the qualifications on the table when we have to choose these people? We have parties, we have organizations that come to the conclusion that this is the best person for the job from our organizational standpoint. We know it's a color thing. It's gold, it's red, it's black, it's green, it's blue, all the different colors, right? Good. We understand the colors. But why is it that I now have to be stuck with your choice in the upcoming election? And when I look at everyone's choice, they all the same. And I will prove it to you. Right now, we decided we're going to go with this particular government. Yeah? Mm-hmm. This is a man who's been a former deputy prime minister. He's been a cabinet minister for the Ministry of Works. We know he hails from Cat Island, San Salvador, Rumkey. We know that region, that's his territory. I have been to Cat Island, by the way. I've flown there on an airline where you start pressing brakes from when you're in the air. If you don't press brakes in the air, my God, you can end up in the ocean. I'm asking you, I tell you, I've been there. From the time you hit the tire, I said, Jesus, Lord. And then when you get there, listen, I tell you no lie. There was a tent there for an airport.
My Lord.
And it was raining, and everybody's getting wet.
Wow.
But that's the leader that we are stuck with from that particular organization. When it came now to the other organization, we have a leader now who's making every effort. And I know you all love him. That's why I say I'm trying to hold back. I can't hold back. Yes, he's a good playwright. Yes, he's a good orator. Yes. But now we look for the track record. Marco City. What's happening in Grand Bahama? We've all been crying for Grand Bahama. And this is what I would have liked to have seen from that leader. I would have liked to have seen a miracle. I would like to see how when Jesus came out. Listen to me, man. Mary was looking for her son. The same son, Emmanuel, God with us, born in a manger, looking for a son at the age of, how old? 12. And the man teaching the rabbi them in the temple. The man turned water into wine. The man healing the leper and the lame and the blind. They got to have some miracle, something to stand on to let us know that, you know what? I am the one. I am the Nero. This is the Matrix, man. And I run this thing. I'm looking for that kind of superhero right now in this Bahama land. That's what I'm looking for. Then you had the Incredible Hulk Menace. Who don't lay pipe here? Top iron. And we say that one too strong, too abrasive, too rude, too arrogant. But the man fed you. The man give you water, enlightenment, everything else was shut down. The man do some things. But we got a problem with that because you're a little too strong and you're too you're like an irritant to us. So we don't look at you so favorably. And then we got, of course, the other fellow who burned out and everything. I remember when I started, the People's National Coalition, which was 3 months before the COI.
Mm.
They called me to Wolf Road to the little church meeting to say they have witnessed a little meeting. And I can tell you who I was, I said Macasha Stewart. See, I tell this a real story. Mm-hmm. And this, I watched the whole Coalition of Independence get started. Me, I saw it. I already had my party. Mm-hmm. I already had my platform. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, listen, man, there ain't none of this. But when I see the fellas start getting locked up once, locked up twice, locked up twice, I said, Jesus, Lord, I ain't fooling with this no more. Be water leader than get locked up all the time. So when you go on the world stage, stay in trouble all the time. Can our country actually be disrespectful to global policies and legislations? Could we be that rude? Are we that strong to be that rude that we can afford the Bahamas to be on permanent lockdown? I mean, minister locked it down for 6 months. This one goes to get locked down forever. I'm just talking about choices of leadership. And guess what we have to do? The bright minds. We've had some bright minds on Remark, right on this very show. Some bright minds, people of the future. We see some young people coming up here who practice robotics.
Mm.
And people who are chemists and physicists.
Mm-hmm.
And people of a Bahamian who's in NASA over there doing aeronautics. Mm-hmm. These are people that we have from this country. Where are these people in leadership? Not management, leadership. You know what happens to those people? We chop them down.
Mm-hmm.
We chop them down. You're too pretty. You're too bright skin. Mm-hmm. Huh? You're too smart. You got too much education. Or you talk too strong. You ain't on our family. Your name funny. What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
What name more funny? I can say it. Could I say it on the show?
Mm-hmm.
What name you know more funny than Penland?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Now, I just asking. I just said that, man. I ain't scared. What name you know in the Bahamas more funny than Penland other than the other names? You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We said I know Bahamian name, but that's our hero. Mm-hmm. That's our forefather. Mm-hmm. That's our strength. That's our iron.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that same character that Sir Lyndon Penland was? Where is that person today? It could be a man, it could be a woman, but we need that person now. I'm listening to you, talking about eggs and talking about electricity and talking about crime and violence. Man, listen to me. I've been here with 10 different ministers coming here and I'll call you all down until y'all can get this thing right. This country cannot continue to endure what we're now going through. It's ridiculous, it's stupid, and I'm tired of it.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
But I'll give you back your program.
Thank you.
Whoa. Drink some water. We need
calm
to drink
down
some water. We got to monitor his pressure for his lovely wife. So, but Garth, you're right. Obviously, we recognize that all of these things rise and fall on leadership, right? We all know that if you have great leadership, from great leadership comes great decisions, and from great decisions hopefully result in great policies, and it benefits all of us. So we know that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. So these are things that we know. However, as I would always tell my team, we control our controllables.
Mm.
The one thing that Bahamians control is who they vote for in the ballot boxes.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing Bahamians control, because Bahamians represent the leadership, the voting bloc of all of these organizations that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And they determine whether or not the caliber of candidates that get presented in the next general election are a better caliber than the ones that they're replacing.
Yes.
These are all Bahamians. These aren't foreigners doing this. So we have to take some personal responsibility.
Yes.
The condition that we find ourselves in is of our own doing. This is of our own doing. This isn't a giant conspiracy, something foisted upon us. We have done this. We have made these decisions. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and the young lady said such a brief statement that just blew my mind. She said, what you don't change, you choose.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
By not changing.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just let that marinate for a minute. What you don't change, you choose. And
yes,
that is very true.
Wow.
So if we don't, in 2026, or whatever the election is called, if we don't tomorrow make a decision to choose differently, then we will have the same results that we've always
had. Well, that is true. That is true. Right? We got a call on the line, so, Mr. Russell. Call on the line. Go ahead. Caller, go ahead. Hello.
Yes, I'd like to hold for Garth as well, please.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Garth.
Hey.
Calm down a little bit. Calm down a little bit. I feel your passion, and I love the energy. The question I have is, how are we, like-minded Bahamians, to change the mindset of the voter. Because it appears as if they know what they need, mm-hmm. but for some reason only receive what they are given. Mm. So, you know, psychology would say we must be a slightly crazy people to give the term, because if we know the power going off, if we know the water going off, if we know the roads are dug up, why don't the voting populace make that change to improve their lives?
That's a question, Len Ray Pratt or Peggy, Jarvin, go ahead.
Okay, great question. And like I was stating earlier, we, the Bahamian people, we fall into, we are part, a big part of the problem, because this color politics, this I born this and I can die this, and politicians capitalized. And so from 2002, we've been swinging back and forward, back and forward. And parties capitalized this because our time next.
Who's our time?
Whoever in opposition. Our time next, because the leaders, see, when we elect a group of people, we're electing the leader of the party to become the leader of the nation. And like fighter ants, everybody protect the leader to ensure that the leader look like the hero, even if they look like fools, to
preach.
make the leader look like a hero. The leader is failing. And one thing, and I said this outside, that concerns me most with this administration, God prepare a ram in the ticket from Abraham time. There's no ram in the ticket with this administration. Over three years in, we have not had one person stand up strongly, publicly, and say, enough. We're on the wrong track.
That's what they're saying.
We everybody going along, because I've seen people who kind of stutter, and I've seen the attack ants come on them and try to destroy them because they dare speak out on behalf of what is best for the people and for this nation. For over a couple months now, I've been calling for the Free National Movement to make their aspiring candidates, even if it's 5 for 1 constituency, make them known. I've had many excuses. One of them, they're afraid of
rejection.
No, they're afraid of once they put themselves out there, they're victimized, they're this and they're that.
Scared.
If you scared.
You kidding, right?
No.
You ain't kidding?
I ain't kidding. And see how angry I get right away.
What?
If you're afraid.
What the heck are you there for?
To put your neck out right now for Bahamas, which I do every day. And I'm the one who do not want to be a candidate. And every week, sometimes 2-3 times a week, I get a call or a stranger, especially those sweet old ladies, Bahamian women. Baby, you gotta run. Baby, I praying for you. Baby, you honest. Baby, you talking for us. And all I say, Mom, so I smile. I say, continue to pray for me. This week alone, I had somebody message me, say, be prepared for the call.
For what?
Because this nation needs you to come forward. I'm forward. I'm speaking every day. Not everybody who come forward need to run. But those who want to run need to come forward.
You know, one of the things is that there's a quote that says, you know, no army, no force could withstand an idea whose time has come. Mm-hmm. The challenge is, has the time come where the Bahamian people have had enough?
That's good.
That's where the issue is. Because you could only accept what you said in your quote. Mm-hmm. If you accepting it, that means you're enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't feel the pain enough to rise up and say, you know what, enough is enough.
Yeah.
There are pockets of individuals in this country who have had enough. But the collective, no. Because the power of the purse is something that silenced the majority.
Yeah.
And when I say the power of the purse, I mean those who are able to be bought. Those who are able to get this little contract. This one who is able to get this little sweet deal on the side. So when you are beholden to a man, your voice is silent. The challenge is there are so many individuals who could speak, who sees the injustice, but it's going to impact their pockets.
Yes.
They're going to be able to lose that contract. They're not going to be able to sustain themselves as a result of speaking out. But that's short-sightedness. If you love this country, what we call the Bahamas, you have to look long term. Because when you are prospering only for a moment, you have generations that's coming ahead that will be suffering for years ahead of you.
Generational.
And what you would have gained in this period of time, which is only temporary anyway, will be washed away so quickly. That's because correct. The reality of it is, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished. That's a guarantee.
How long?
That's correct.
You see what I'm saying? So the fact is, if we have a collective mindset of where we want to see this country and we rise up with the mindset, with that collective mindset together, we can move mountains in this country.
Yeah. I agree.
We just need to have that passion, that desire. We need to see and want that change. But we want to, you know, what a guy.
Let me take this caller real quick.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead, caller. I don't want to burn 2 minutes. Go ahead, caller. Hello.
Hey, good day, God.
Hey, how you doing there?
Fine, thank you.
Many people in here, they hot in here. I mean, I thought it's Christmas time, but in here, it feel like summer.
Ma, listen, I just called to nominate God for Bamboo Town.
Oh, Lord, you're trying to get me killed now, Lord. Lord, I got to buy one of them bulletproof vests.
But you know what I wanted to ask the gentleman that was talking to us? I like what he's saying, but I want him to give some ideas as to how we can get this country out of the hands of the few that's only in it to grease their pockets. I'm talking about the regular citizen now. I'm not talking about the MP. I'm talking about the regular citizen because there was a gentleman that I kind of looked up to somewhat. Okay, he has another show on another television now, and he was so fair. If the FNM is wrong, he would lambaste them and tell them how wrong they are. If the PFP is wrong, he would do the same. However, since getting contract, he's now lopsided. As if the other side had a stroke. You know what I'm saying? And I'm trying to say, well, how do we bring this country out of person's hands like that? Because they're the ones who are going to walk the streets, who are going to push to get one side in above the other, only looking out for their own selfish gain.
You know,
I want you to listen to the answer.
If I may answer that, you know, there's another quote that says, our failure to participate in politics causes us to be governed by inferiors. And when I say inferiors, that doesn't mean that these people are inferior because they have the mental capacity and education to do what they're doing. Mm-hmm. The inferiority means that they're inferior when it comes to understanding that collectively we want to change the country. They're inferior to the point where they realize that, listen, if I do this, I'm going to impact a group of people. Mm-hmm. What we need is a people who understands what their whole or objective of growth is.
Education.
And education. See, too many people in our country do not participate in what we call politics. They say, oh, I don't get into politics. You got to get into politics because it can cost you VAT, it can cost you light bill, it can cost you everything else. Policies. So you got to be involved. The policies impact you. Mm-hmm. So you got to get involved. And so what happens is, what most times happen is we rely on the government or the politicians to come and tell us what the mandate is when we're supposed to be giving them the mandate. If you're coming in this constituency, we have our own constituency meeting. We all in this constituency, 80% of us agree on this is what we'd like to see. This is what we want. And so when you come in to run in this constituency, you're sitting down with the constituents and this is what they're telling you. This is our mandate. You don't come tell us what you want. This is what we want you to do. And when you're not doing what we're telling you to do, whilst we see you in the house talking, we pull you in and say, look here, buddy. When we send you to the house, these are the things that we told you we wanted to have resolved in our constituency, and you're not representing them, and we are going to make a noise, and politicians respond to numbers.
Yeah.
And if we are so passionate about where we want to see the country, and we are relentless and be consistent, when we see a deviation on what it is that we have given them, they will transform themselves and relent and do exactly what we expect them to do.
And what it takes is citizen involvement.
Yeah, exactly that.
Citizen involvement. I did a video in frustration last year called Consensual Silence. Too many Bahamians sit in silence or they are whisperers.
Mm-hmm.
They send you stuff in your inbox.
Mm-hmm.
Can they share this? Mm-hmm. I say, why don't you put it on your page?
Exactly.
And I'll share it from your page. Boy, you know those people. I say, but that's the same people I will have to deal with.
Exactly.
I say, but if there are 10 of us.
Right.
Posting about the same thing is more powerful than Lord as Candace again.
Exactly.
And it is a consensual silence that empowers poor governance.
Mm.
It's the consensual silence of the citizens that allow mismanagement. If I'm being victimized and you sit this side and say, child, you see what they're doing again. Rise up.
Exactly.
If you know there's a voice speaking out for you and yours, and that voice is being silent, you have to rise up.
Absolutely.
But it's the power of consensual silence that empower corruption in our country. Too many Bahamians are waiting till the last minute when they're not at risk. See, during the campaign time, politicians love you. Dang and victimize you. They can be more tolerant of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the moment Bahamians will, even on election day, you'll see them without their colors.
Mm-hmm.
And when the party change, you'll see them come out spitefully. 2007, I had a back trunk full of t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Time as they didn't vote, all my t-shirts was gone. Because when they go on to poll and come back, they put on a shirt. I show them. And that has become a tradition in our politics, mm-hmm. in our nation. But we suffer between elections.
Mm-hmm.
In the midterm, we suffer because we sit silently and we see others who would rise up and speak being abused and victimized and fired. Mm-hmm. And we say, boy, we can fix them on election day. But in the meantime, you're fighting. Your fighter is hurting. Your right. fight is discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And we are consensually silent because we don't want to make our party look bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's another reason. And so to answer the lady who called in,
mm-hmm.
citizens, Bahamians, and Wallmen.
Yes.
We see videos from all over the country, thousands on the street protesting. If you dare to talk about increasing the cost of electricity, increasing the cost of fuel, everybody come together because you're going to hurt all of us.
France is a couple of that.
That's amazing. I'm going to let Darwin chime in on that too, because when we looked at the United States election, it almost seemed as if everybody was now involved. Everybody was interested. Everybody had something to say in that particular election.
Mm-hmm.
I would believe then that the purpose of Remark, where we now sit, that you're not here just by chance.
Mm-hmm.
The people that actually sit on this show, that people may think that you all are biased, but I can challenge them and tell them that I know you all to be some of the most intelligent Bahamian people I know in terms of politics.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
We have all sat on different platforms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But on those platforms, we can talk, you know, a 10-minute segment, and you know, you can get something to say in 2 minutes, and then the show finished for you. You didn't get out what you really wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to thank, you know, Guardian Radio 96.9 for allowing this particular show to take place. This is a gift given to me from Dwight Strawn and management and the state. I don't know how long we're going to be here, but I want to use this time as much as possible to begin this very conversation about the education and the reset necessary to get the country back on track. And Darwin Russell will tell you, what I like with Darwin, always the same.
Mm-hmm.
What you get from Darwin today, you're going to get from Darwin tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Darwin is not afraid. The only thing he's afraid of is bees. He ain't fooling with no bees. You know, he don't like them bees. But in terms of being loyal to communicate, if he's busy, he's going to call you right back. Listen, I heard you called. I was not available at the time, but here I am. These are the type of people that we need. I don't need you to only be available when you're campaigning.
Right.
I need you to say to me, after the campaign is over, you're making $80,000, $90,000 a year, and Garth calls, you can say, you know what? Hey, Garth, I saw I missed your call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, boy, thanks, bad boy. Yeah, I understand. You don't run from me. Have a conversation with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make me feel a little better. Just say a word to me.
Yes,
you don't know where I now sit out of the 400,000 people. If I can even see the sunrise tomorrow, I may be so depressed, so forlorn, so challenged. Sometimes it's not always money.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just laying your head on someone's shoulder and saying, you know what? Let me cry a little bit. And I think that's where the Bahamian people are right now. We need a shoulder to lean on. We crying, man. We tired. And we lost. And I think right now, in this Yuletide season, we need to give each other the gift of strength.
Yes.
The gift of strength to rise up so that when the month of January shortly says, it's going to be a rough time in January.
Child. Oh, boy.
But we need some strength so that we can move on.
Child.
We'll be right back after this.
Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. Yeah. Oh, Christmas Eve will find me.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity.
AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. But we need your help. From November 4th to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, wait, just a hard day. Wait.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet this boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out.
Okay, and we're back with... We're just enjoying ourselves here, keeping it warm. You know, we like the light. I wouldn't say the word fire just now, but y'all so political. Y'all going straight to the F&M when they say fire. So what are we going to light? We're going to light a furnace. I got a text. Good afternoon, Mr. Garth. It says, great show. I know that you can't respond right now, but I will respond now. Like, you took the time to write it, so I'll say it. But to add to what Peggy said, in the 7th, I mean, it's a produce exchange. They were talking about the produce exchange, mm-hmm. Peggy. Then it was crop share. I don't know if you all are familiar with that, Glenroy. Crop share. Mm-hmm. And you farm my land for 2-1. So I don't know if they came in, took your land, and then, you know, they got 2 shares and you got 1 share, that type of thing. Wow. And then the big realtor buys the land on the islands to peanuts, for peanuts, mm-hmm. or quiet title,
yep.
And put the price out of the reach of the locals.
Yep.
Then the young person looking for a job or career has to move to Nassau. I think, Darwin, you can address that. That is really what it is historically, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, but this is the depopulation of the Family Islands, right? This has been what has happened. Peggy mentioned the cost of living being catastrophically high in those neighboring islands, and then you have this issue that the texter mentioned, which speaks to why you have this depopulation of those islands. One of the reasons being, if all of the shoreline is being purchased, once again, the natives are being squeezed inland, a small group of privileged Bahamians are getting wealthier and wealthier. Usually it's the merchant class in the Bahamas, while the rest suffer. But let me touch on these 2 points before we wrap up the show today. So Peggy and Glenroy, before the break, were making some points, and I will echo these two points. It's two C's that I'll talk about, and they're character and they are courage. I think the caller had asked, what can we do as the average citizen? Well, you can develop your own courageous backbone.
Yes.
And you have to, whether that is writing letters, whether that is speaking up, whether that is standing up for what you know on your job, in your neighborhood, in your churches, to be the right thing. That's what we need in this country, more courageous, everyday Bahamians. We saw, for example, with the elderly woman that was taken advantage of in Grand Bahama at the nursing home.
Yes.
Everyday Bahamians in Grand Bahama went out and demonstrated.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody in this nation posted something on
powerful.
Their social media.
Yes. That was powerful.
Everybody yes. called. The level of anger that permeated through this country. I've never seen social services and the police force move so swiftly to intervene and resolve a matter as they did in that case. And that woman was restored back to her family, and her assets are in the process of being restored back to her heirs. So that's what I talk about. That was a great example of courage. Now, character. Garth went on his rant earlier about leadership in this country, right? And there's nothing he said that was untrue, but we have, I just finished reading this book called Why We So Consistently Choose Bad Leaders.
Wow.
And I encourage all of you, if you have some time, to read that book. One of the things that we have to recognize is the criteria with which we use to judge leaders. And this is not only political leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Business leaders, people in the private sector, even in some of our churches, we do not use the right criteria. For example, politicians, what do we like? We like these bombastic personalities, more sizzle, no steak. So what we've had...
Why are you looking at me?
What we've had is a lot of leaders who can entertain us from a rally stage, who are good campaigners, who are good orators. But at the end of the day, when it comes to where it mattered, in policy pronouncements, in an enforcement of law, in consistent administration, in the improvement of the average efficiency with which government operates, we could confidently say we have fallen significantly short. I remember when I was second in charge of a company, I won't call the name, in Grand Bahama. And there were some challenges going on with that company. And despite my noticing those challenges, despite me being the number two recommending change, nothing happened. Why? Because the leader of that organization refused to make a change. That's the problem we have in the Bahamas.
Yes.
When we sit around the table, it really is not only about who your individual member of parliament is, but we can no longer support organizations where we have leaders that do not have the character to lead us as a nation. Mm-hmm. Now, you can make your evaluation of the men that are leaders of these parties today, and I'm not going to get into that today. We don't even have enough time. Mm-hmm. We can dissect that in one of the shows in the new year. But if you look at the leaders of these organizations. You know, Glenn did Garth did an easy, you know, synopsis, and he picked them out. He did something about Lincoln. He talked a little about Michael. He talked a little bit about Brave. But, you know, he was saying things certainly tongue-in-cheek for a minute there, but the substance of it still matters. What is the criteria that you're going to use to evaluate Mr. Pintard? Seriously, what's the criteria you are going to use to evaluate the Prime Minister on his second proposed lap? What is the criteria that you're going to use to evaluate Mr. Bain? And if those men are found to be wanting, how can you in all good conscience, as a Bahamian, say that's where I'm going to throw my lot to support that party?
Yes.
We have to take responsibility
yes.
for that, because we get exactly, not necessarily what we deserve, but we certainly get what we vote for.
Yes,
definitely.
Absolutely. I love it. Listen, man, this is remark. Listen, I got goosebumps.
It's remarkable.
Yeah, but I got goosebumps. And then, you know, this is where I'm going to allow you all to just give your last 2 minutes. I think I give each of you about 2 minutes, but I just want to throw this out to you. This text came in. It's a mischievous text, but I think some of us in the country, we kind of like this particular fellow, but we just can't say it publicly. But so I want to be cautious when I say this to you, but listen to this text. On the topic of being courageous, shout out to Shamvendez Smith, a.k.a. Michael the Archangel, who let down the Columbus statue. The government spoke about moving it, but he took the first step. Now, The only thing I can safely say in order to guard our reputation, the reputation of the station and us as good, decent, maybe people is this. I would say that the government has to be careful when they delay too often.
Yes.
And for too long. Because the people just may react in a way that is unbecoming. Yeah. Can I be safe when I say that to you?
Yes, yes,
people will take matters into their own hands. I want to stretch this from the Columbus statue to the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. We know you guilty.
Right.
See, this happens in Jamaica. I lived in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. In Jamaica, when they find out who was responsible for whatever, mm-hmm. the next morning you see you on the news, you're gone.
Wow.
They can deal with the justice of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to get to that point.
Right.
So when we plead to the governor, say, listen, man, be people of your word.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you say you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Deal with justice the way you're supposed to deal. The judicial system, mm-hmm. the judicial system, get it together, man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The police force, get it together, man. Customs, get it together, man. Because we got to do better.
Yeah.
And we cannot do better unless the government is going to do exactly what they're supposed to do and what they promised to do. I'm sorry, but I just had to get it off my chest.
Peggy Glenroy, you have 2 minutes.
Okay, I want to say a Merry Christmas, Bahamians and visitors and friends. Merry Christmas. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your food. Because next year, I need you. And you need me. And we need each other to start coming together and fixing this country. It is up to us. We have released power too often to politicians, and we wait until the next general election. But 2025, let's take our power back. Let's become more vocal. Let's become more involved. Let's become more intentional of fixing our country.
Wow. Leroy Pratt, you got a minute there?
Yes, indeed. Just want to continue to say something I always say. You know, life is a collection of memories. That's what we are, a collection of memories. As you go into 2025, try to make better memories that when you do leave the face of the earth, that your impact would have been felt for generations unborn. Because we're only passing through, and so whatever experiences that we have and how we can better the lives of those that we come into contact with, let's focus on those things. Let us uplift each other. Let's come alive in 2025.
Yes.
And I'll close by saying this. Be the kind of man or woman that you want your children to become.
Wow.
Mm. Well, that's a show in and of itself. That's a show in and of itself. Yeah, right now. Listen, man, this is Rima.
Like a cliffhanger.
Yeah, we're here in the Christmas spirit. But for those of you who want to participate in our program, you want to be a sponsor, you just give us a call here at Guardian Radio, 302-2375 or 302-2309. This has been Remark. I'm Garth Minard Roseboro with the crew. This is the crew right here having a merry, merry, merry Christmas. Welcome back, Wally. Hello, Brittany. Let's make it happen. Let's keep it strong and let us stay together. Have a good one, Bahamas, and
Saxons
be safe.
Saxons on nothing.
What Saxon?
Mm-hmm.